spent the last two shiurim on the sugya of Baal Beir, and we saw the way Rishonim and Achronim debate how to understand the engine that drives Baal Beir, and based on that, a whole slew of nafkaminas, both in terms of Baal Beir in general and about Libo Gaspa, the exceptional Libo Gaspa in particular. Now we come to the other memra that appears alongside it, here back on Pei Aleph on Aleph, very brief and very packed. Omar of Yosef, Pesach Pasuach, L'Shosh HaRabim, Ein Choshishin Mishom Yichud. Yosef said, if an open door to L'Shosh HaRabim, then there's no concern of Yichud. Open door to L'Shosh HaRabim, no concern of Yichud. Each one of those words needs to be understood. Let's take a look at the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says in Siftes. Siftes had been Baal Beir. Siftes had been. Siftes is, yeah. Bayashep Pisho Pasuach, Lushus Harabi, you have a house whose door is open to the street, to public space. Ein Chashash Lusiached Shavim Erba. No concern to Misyached there, even if it would otherwise be Yichud Daraisa. You're going to be alone with a woman who is an Erva to you. This would otherwise be Yichud Daraisa, but the open door solves the problem. This is very significant. Baal Beir has its relevance, but obviously it's limited to a case where the woman involved in the Yichud is married and her husband is nearby. We can discuss the details, but obviously Baal Beir is only going to apply in a fraction of situations. Pesach Pasuach might be the most common. Say one of the most common tools in the toolbox of how to solve a potential yichud problem. It can be applied lechor almost anywhere. As you have a problem, you have a situation that seems problematic, no problem, open the door. Or make sure it's Pesach Pasuach L'Shus Rabim. But each of those words is going to require understanding. Okay, and understand what Pasuach means. We have to understand what we mean by Pesach, and we have to understand what we mean by L'Shus Rabim. So for starters, the most central question is, what do you mean by open? Like, what does this look like? Reuven and Eliezer are secluded together, but because the door is pasuach, therefore there's no problem. What do you mean by pasuach? What does that look like? You unlock the door, you leave the door wide open. Does either one work? Do both work? Why? Why not? Take a look at the Pischei Tshuva. Take a look at the Pischei Tshuva. Sif Os Ches. Sif Katan Ches. You see that Shapischo Pasuach L'Shus Rabim. Once again, a famous Achrona Shenaim, when you learn Hashem Ezekin, you associate with Kashas and Rashi and Taisus, not Shaios LaHalacha. But here we are on page Nun Ches, in the Shulchan Aruch. Pischei Tshuva is right over here. Pischo, Pasuach, L'Shus HaRabim, Ayim, the Tshuva is Rabbi Akiva Eger, Simen Kuf. It's a very involved situation there. A very, very complicated, involved, and very sad situation that Rabbi Akiva Eger is talking about. But in the midst of all of it, he has a conversation about the halachas of Yichud. And specifically, he quotes an earlier Achron. He quotes the Gaon Beis Meir. He quotes the Beis Meir. Rabbi Akiva Eger quotes the Beis Meir. Who wrote? If the door is not pasuach but sasum, what does that mean? Afilu eino na'ul, even though it's not locked. In other words, what does sasum mean? Closed. And ponu l'shus harabim, this unlocked door faces l'shus harabim. O pasuach l'chatzar, it opens to a lobby or to a chatzar where other houses open to as well. V'hu ima b'yichud ba'abayis, and he and she are alone in the house. The door is unlocked, but not wide open. Havi Yichud. Chemashri Kiddushin Peyal. In other words, how is he defining Pasuach? Wide open. My Deisa B'Tshuvas HaRashba, and Rekivei goes on to say, aye, but there's a Tshuva of the Rashba. Simon 1251, Elef, Reishon and Av. De'ein Yichud Ad Shehei Habayis No'ob Emanol. Only Yichud, the door is locked. Tav Tes Samachu. It's a Tes Samach. What is Tes Samach? Toz Sofer. He says that's a mistake. It can't be the Rashba said it. You look at the Gemara. It can't be. Kivegar says, we're going to ignore that Shiva's Rashba. Obviously, you're looking at this like, well, that's pretty, you know, it seems very facile to just say, ah, ignore the Rashba. But obviously, the Pesachei Tshuva is giving you literally two-line summary. Okay, maybe three-line summary of a lengthy Kivegar. You want to see what the Tshuva's Rashba says and why he's convinced to Torah Sofer, Kachenu Misham. You look inside, the Siman Kuf and Kivegar's Tshuva, you'll see the back and forth. But this is, in a nutshell, the position of Rabbi Akiva Eiger and of the Beis Meir, two of the Gedolei Achronim, is that Pesach Pasuach means the door is actually open. Not either the Rashba who says otherwise, he says ignore the Rashba, it's a misread. Not everyone, however, agrees. Achein ro'isi b'tshuvas Radvaz. The Radvaz, Rabbi David ben Zimra, is an Egyptian Talmud Chacham, who lived, I think, at the very end of the period of Rishonim. Very, very prolific tshuva writer. The Rashba was a very prolific tshuva writer. Rashba wrote well over 2,000 tshuvas. I think the Radvaz may have written even more. Thousands of tshuvas. So the Radvaz, and you realize the Pesachei Tshuva apparently had vast bechias in the thousands of tshuvas of Radvaz, as well as thousands and thousands and thousands of other tshuva svarim, such that he was able to then give you thumbnail portraits per sif. Stop and just consider for a moment the staggering type of Talmud Chacham that Rav Eisenstadt, the author of the Pesachei Tshuva, was. And he did not have a Bailan. He did not have the Pesachei Tshuva. He didn't have Safari yet. He couldn't even Google. It's really, wow. It's incredible. Both the Yedias and also the golden pen to be able to consistently take lengthy tshuvas and reduce to, give you the gist of it in a useful gist in two, three lines consistently. He's doing this throughout Evan Ezra, throughout Yoredeya. It's unbelievable. So the Pesachei Tshuva says, well, Rekiv Eger and the Beis Meir, they say that Pesach Pasuach means wide open. But the Radvaz, a century or two earlier, disagreed. Schelek Alf, Simukuf Chafalf, Hetik Lashon Rashba Nal. He does quote the language of the Rashba. The Lokas of Shep Tes Samachul. He does not write that to Tos Sofer. This, then he goes on. There's a third opinion that is rejected. So here you have a basic machlokas. How do you translate Pasuach? Does Pasuach mean wide open? Or Pasuach means unlocked. What's the issue? What are they arguing about? So what they're arguing about, L'chaora, is the following. What was the matter? The door is locked. The door is unlocked, but it's not open. It is open. What they're arguing about, L'chaora, is the following. As was Baal Be'ir, Yesh La'ayin by Pesach Pasuach, what's driving the Hector? Why is Pesach Pasuach changing? This would have been, as the Shulchan Aruch stresses, this is otherwise an Issur Daraisa, according to all or almost all Rishonim, otherwise an Issur Daraisa of Yichud. Reuven and Eliza are alone together. And Reuven and Eliza are erva to one another. Maybe Eliza is a Nida. Maybe Eliza is not a Nida, but she's married to someone other than Reuven. Maybe Reuven and Eliza are related to each other in a way that makes them an erva, and in a way that does not automatically make Yichud Mutter. Not that they're parent, child, brother, sister, and so on. So Reuven and Eliza are an erva to one another, and they're secluded alone, no one else is there. This seems like it is an Issur Yichud Daraisa. But because Pesach Pasuach is Heter Gamer, what changed? So the question is, Rabbi Akiva Eiger and the Beis Meir, who say Pesach Pasuach only works if the door is wide open, what a wide open door does is visibility. It means anyone walking by can see you. So if there's visibility, if you're visible to passersby in the Rishus HaRabim, so that's the Heter, according to Rabbi Eiger and the Beis Meir. The Radvaz, on the other hand, seems to understand visibility certainly is matir, but you don't need that. It's sufficient to have a possibility of entry. If there's a real possibility, no one walking by can see you, but anyone walking by might pop in. If anyone walking by might pop in, So then that is already enough to be matir. That's already enough to be matir. So what does this matter? What does this matter? Whether it's visibility. Yeah, question. Then.
A window?
Ah, gewaldig. Well, yeah. We'll get to windows soon. Good. We'll get to windows soon. Right. Visibility is certainly good. There's an important story with a very beautiful story. Biram L'Chaver and Biram L'Makom, beautiful story with Reb Chaim Eiser about windows, which we'll get to. Story of incredible sensitivity to both Biram L'Chaver and Biram L'Makom. We'll get to that soon. So another one, the most obvious nafkamina is how you define pasuach. What is the definition of pasuach? If you say visibility, it has to be wide open, like a kiva base layer. Or if you say just a question on inhibit entry, it just has to be unlocked. But we have to stress the following. Unlocked in a way that there's a real chance of people coming in. If you leave your door unlocked, how likely is it that people will randomly pop in? So if you live in a bungalow colony, likely. The door is unlocked, people will come in. Sometimes you live in a bungalow colony, you feel like even the door is locked, people still manage to come in. Certainly, if you live in like one of those blocks where the kids on the block are always constantly in each other's houses, so if the door is unlocked, you know, if you live in a situation where it's really the case, if the door is unlocked, there's a real chance at any moment someone is popping in. Yeah, so that's already uninhibited entry, and that is mutter lefi the radvaz. According to kivayin the base mayor, that's not sufficient. Pasuach means wide open to anyone walking by, a door or window can actually see you. Number two is where in the house? Bayis shulchan aruch had said. Bayis shepischo pasuach. What do you mean by bayis? Where in the house? Where in the house? So if you say visibility, it's only in the front room, anywhere where you're actually in the line of sight. If you say it's uninhibited entry, so it's wherever your surprise guests. There you go. Again, even if you're willing to make like the Radvaz, the fact that people will walk in, the chance of people walking in is enough to matir. People walk in, they're not necessarily going all the way upstairs. They might roam around on the first floor, but not on the second floor. Okay. but that's still more than the percentage of the house that visibility will get you, because if you require visibility, it's only the front room or whichever areas are actually in the line of sight of people who are outside. Question?
Generally, people nowadays, it's not so bad. Well, generally, when people walk in the house, the person locks. So, having your house unlocked, even though a person could possibly walk in, but still, they
very good. No, so you're absolutely right that oftentimes there'll be many situations where unlocking the door is not going to work, even according to Ravaz, because if people would knock and wait to be allowed in, and if no one comes to the door, they're not coming in. So that's not going to happen. But let's say the following. There are situations, even in our reality, where this is shaykh. So for instance, a practical scenario is, let's say, in a physician's office. Right. So a physician who's seen a patient of the opposite gender, so how do you avoid a yichud problem? How do you avoid a yichud problem? So sometimes a physician will have staff that comes in with him. There'll be a nurse or a PA or someone who, a nurse practitioner maybe, will come in with the doctor, because that could solve your problem. But if the doctor has seen the patient alone, or in the pediatrician's office, often there'll be the patient is the kid and there's the parents as well. So that often you'll have enough people in the room that you've solved your problem. But if a physician is seeing a patient, there's no one else there, so how do you solve the yichud problem? And you're not interested in having a window that anyone walking by can see in because the patient wants privacy. Hey, sitting down for consultation, talking across the desk, that could be you could have an open window. But obviously, if you're doing examination, you're going to want privacy. So how does that work? So there are a couple of solutions. One of which is, if you have I've spoken with doctors about this, about Lamasa. But create a culture in the office. There are other staff in the office, even if they're not coming in with you. So if the culture in the office is that any other staff, another doctor or nurse or PA can just, you know, crack the door, drop, knock, and walk in after a few seconds, so that already solves your yichud problem. No, they'll give you 5 seconds, 10 seconds, but the fact that they'll walk in within 10 seconds is also uninhibited entry. So therefore, if someone's going to knock and then pop in the next few seconds, so that's absolutely, if you're being make like the Ravaz, that is absolutely pesach masov. You're right. There'll be a situation where it works. Situation doesn't work. And here's another one. And this is if you want nafkin number 3. Is how about, can it ever be a heter by null? Can there ever be a heter where it's actually locked? So the Dvar Halacha, modern classic in Hilchas Yichud, quotes from the Chabina Rav and the Dov Meisharim that if there are specific people who have the key, who can show up, so he said, look, that's the same as Radvaz. It doesn't have to be that the door is actually unlocked. The point is, there's a real chance that there's a real chance of people popping in. So he said, look, in theory, I stress in theory, he says, if you have mafteach v'yad acherim, the other people with the key, and there's a real chance, not that they're out of town or they're not sharing for 3 hours, there's a real chance that they're popping in at any time. So he says, look, that's also a mutter. Practically, I say it's just as in theory, lamasa, as we spoke about earlier, at the top of payoff of Aleph, whenever you're dealing with the yichud situation, you want to make sure that you're in the clear on two different fronts. Number one, that's not technically yichud. You're not violating Hilchos Yichud formally. And number two, that you also want to make sure that you're not doing something that's technically fine, but doesn't smell right. You're not doing something that's technically not yichud, but it's mechur adavar, lo tov ashmur. I want to make sure that it is proper, and you also have the appearance of propriety, both. Usually locking the door, in most situations, even technically there are people who could show up any time, usually locking the door would still be odd. You probably would at least want to keep the door unlocked anyways, unless... Mechur adavar, something has to be addressed on a case-by-case situation. Every case is different. You might have to lock the door because of safety, depending on what type of neighborhood you're in. And you say, you know, the other people show up any minute, but let's just lock the door because we don't want unwanted, unauthorized visitors. So certainly, from a technical perspective, if you hold like the Radvaz, so then Mafteach B'yad Acherim is also going to be Mutter. And let's talk a little bit about, so far we spoke about the definition of Pasuach, and that's this Machlokas, Rikiv Eger and the Beis Meir versus the Radvaz. And within that we spoke of the definition of bias, how much of the bias is considered to be, is covered by the Heter Pasuach. And let's talk a little bit more also about Pesach, in terms of the question of Chalon. And then Rabbi Yehuda writes in a tshuva, this sort of, in the midst of talking about something else, he says, yeah, Pesach Pasuach or Chalon HaPasuach Moshus HaRab. So he makes that point explicitly, based on the Gemara of Avodah Zarah probably. Two things about Chalon, which are important. Number one is the story. We've spoken in the past about that story that Rabbi Fulda told about maintaining high standards simultaneously of Rabbi Chaver Ben Makom, about the department store that had opened in it and had gone, that stopped being Sharma Shabbos in his town. So here's another such story. They tell the Achiezer, and you'll appreciate the story more if you know about whom we're speaking, what his talents were, and what his workload was like. Chaim Eiser was one of the leading poskim in Europe, in Eastern Europe, before World War II. He was involved in Psak Halacha, and he was the Rav of Vilna, which was Ir Ve'em Bisrael, a major Jewish population center. And he was very involved also in Sarchei Tzibur, in Vilna and beyond, especially since in the early days of World War II, as a result of the diplomatic machinations between Ribbentrop and Molotov, between the Nazis and the Russians, so there was a phase, there was this period of time during which Vilna was an internationalized city where people were able to come in on one side and leave on the other side. It became sort of a passage between the areas controlled by the Germans, the areas controlled by the Russians. And that's one piece of the larger story of the Mir Yeshiva, about the Mir Yeshiva's escape across Siberia to China, Japan, and so forth. That temporary unique status of Vilna was a key piece of that journey. And Bechlal for many, many, many other Jews as well. So, there was a period of time when there was a tremendous number of Jews who were passing through Vilna because of this diplomatic wrinkle. And they needed to get help getting to safety. And they needed food. And they needed clothing. And they needed housing. A lot that had to happen. Chaim Eiser, they say, was a unusually gifted man who supposedly was a true multitasker. Hard to know how many of these stories are true, but they definitely don't tell stories like this about you and I, about sitting there and writing two different shuvas with two different hands and on the phone, on two phones at the same time, and the shochtim are talking to him, shoch is talking to him about the cow, and two people are there with a din Torah, and a woman came to collect tzedakah, and it's all happening at the same time. All happened at the same time. When you appreciate how intensely busy the Reb Chaim Eiser was and how much was getting done simultaneously, you appreciate that much more, the stories that are told, but where he put everything aside and just focused on one person. You realize what the opportunity cost. He was putting aside so much else that could be done within those minutes to focus on one person. There are several such stories. Rich on Thursday will open with the way he handled one particular young woman with great sensitivity both from the Chaver and beyond the Makom, and it involves Chalon HaPasuach, which is right. Shkoyach.